Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Boyd away, Glenn Miller played.
Songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days. And you knew where you were then.
Guys were girls and men were men. Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again. Didn't need no welfare states.
Everybody pulled his weight. Gee, our old LaSalle ran great. Those were the days.
It seems today that all you see is violence in movies and sex on TV.
But where are those good old-fashioned values on which we used to rely?
Lucky is a family guy. Lucky is a man who positively can do all the things that make us
laugh and cry.
He's a family guy.
All right, welcome everybody to The Drift. Brandon Drake in the house today. Gary Wellings is still away on vacation, but I think he is going to call in a little bit. And you heard that show intro theme music from All in the Family and Family Guy. And, you know, there's been so much talk lately about race. And, of course, there's the tragic shooting in South Carolina, and that little bastard should fry in hell and get the death penalty, like, tomorrow. But we know that won't happen. So I wanted to touch on race initially on a lighter side, because the show All in the Family, that was one of the topical issues of the time that show addressed. And also I threw in the Family Guy theme song in there, because my original intent before the shooting in South Carolina was to compare and contrast All in the Family, 1971, the show came out, very controversial, and shows like Family Guy that are now looked at as perfectly acceptable to air during prime time for children to watch. I remember in 1971 when All in the Family came out, and like I said, it was a very controversial show, and a lot of people were very upset by this show. I was about 10 years old. I had friends that weren't even allowed to watch that show because it was immediately labeled as, quote, racist. And Archie Bunker was the evil bad guy that everybody should hate. And looking back now, 44 years ago at that show is like an old-fashioned Disney family value show compared to what we see on television today. Family Guy, I know a lot of people love it. I want to like that show. At times I've laughed to it, but for me, for the most part, it's a very unintelligent bathroom humor. Fart jokes, vomiting, just crude, in-your-face nastiness with no wit, no intellectual substance whatsoever. All in the Family, on the other hand, especially for a sitcom, was so far ahead of its time. And again, 1971 that early 70s, late 60s, early 70s era was a real transition in the American mindset. And All in the Family addressed, like I said, topical issues such as racism, homosexuality, women's lib, rape, religion. The Vietnam War was still raging, but it was starting to wind down. Even things like miscarriage and abortion and menopause and impotence. And I'm going to touch on Carol O'Connor, who played Archie Bunker. One back then, you know, the initial response was he's a racist. And was Archie Bunker a mean-spirited racist? No, by no means. He was a working-class guy who was a product of his experiences, just like we all are. Now, did he stereotype people based on race, religion, their political beliefs? He did, but it was in a very non-angry, funny way. And of course, Archie was made to look like the idiot at times and the goat, but a lot of things he said were actually true. And the best humor is when there's an element of truth. And Archie would butcher the language. He was obviously not a college-educated guy. And he's a guy that I believe was a foreman down at a warehouse. And his typical day was he'd go to work, hardworking guy. And this was his expectation. Come home and had his – he didn't want his wife to work because he was still in that mindset that the wife doesn't work. And he expected dinner on the table at 6 o'clock. And then he would sit down in his chair. And by the way, his wife Edith and Archie's chairs, I believe, are in the Smithsonian Institute Museum. Sit in his chair. He didn't want anybody sitting in his chair. Turn the TV on, maybe have a beer, and just want to be left alone. But he never could get that. He could never achieve that because his little girl, as he called her, his daughter, who he loved very much, and he loved his wife very much, real family values there. She's marrying an intellectual college student who's very far to the left, progressive liberal. He lives next door to George and Louise Jefferson, who are black. George is a very upward mobile, hard-charging businessman, so he's got that at odds with Archie. And my point in bringing them up is not only are they black, but they have different. Like George is a hard-charging businessman and wants to get ahead and move on up, if you will. And the spin-off, the Jeffersons, the theme song was "Moving On Up," but Archie wants to be left alone. And he never can be. They all come to him. He's not running around trying to attack people, and they come to him. So that's where a lot of the fun comes from. Archie's in his living room, and often people will sit in his chair, and he's got to get them out of his chair, and he has to debate in his way with them because they're in his house. Now, Family Guy, like I said, I'm embarrassed that a program like that is considered acceptable for our children to watch. Some of the most perverse, and I'm no prude by any means. Anyone that knows me on the air or people here at Wham know that I'm certainly far from a prude. But it almost, when I watch a show like Family Guy and knowing that young children are watching that partly because it's a cartoon and partly because their parents don't seem to care, it almost makes me yearn for the days when there were decency standard censors out there for television. And for the most part, that's all gone away. And the old argument, oh, if you don't like what you're watching, just turn the channel. Well, kids don't do that. And the parents should take care of their children and make sure they don't watch programs like that. That's true in theory, but that never happens. We know that. Anyway, that's where I'm touching on that. Now, I want to get to, I don't want you to think that I'm just defending Archie because he's some white guy. This was a fantastic show. And Carol O'Connor, who played Archie Bunker, part of the greatness of him was his sarcasm, his cynicism, his just painful type existence that he lived because he's always being antagonized by everybody. One of the issues he addresses is gun control, which, again, is prevalent today. It's a very, very relevant subject today as it was over 40 years ago. And Archie's coming home from work. I'm going to have Derek play an audio clip here in a second to address where Archie's kind of right, but he takes things a little too far in a clumsy way. And how there's the best humor is when there's a certain truth in it. Archie's coming home from work, and he's stopped by a local television station to come into the studio and do an editorial. It's called Man on the Street, the segment. And so Archie races home from work, from the television studio after he records this because he's going to be on the local news that night. So he's in the living room with his wife, Edith, and his son-in-law, Michael Stivic, also known as Meathead by Archie. And they're in front of the television set, and they're going to watch this Archie's editorial on gun control. Go ahead, Derek.
Good evening, everybody. Bunker of 704 Hauser Street, veteran of the big war, speaking on behalf of Guns for Everybody. Now, question. What was the first thing that the communists done when they took over Russia? Answer, gun control. And there's a lot of people in this country who want to do the same thing to us here in a kind of conspiracy, see. You take your big international bankers. They want to, masticate the people of this here nation like puppets on a wing. And then when you get that done, you bring us over to the commies.
Oh, Archie, I'm now, glad I'm they put you on a stool. You look taller sitting down.
Now, I want to talk about another thing that's on everybody's mind today, and that's your stick-ups and your skyjackers, which, if that was up to me, I could end the skyjackers tomorrow.
You could?
All you got to do is arm all your passengers. And then he ain't got no more superiority there, and he ain't going to dare to pull out no rod. And then your airlines, then they wouldn't have to chase the passengers on the ground no more. They just pass out the pistols at the beginning of the trip, and they pick them up again at the end. Case closed.
That's incredible, Archie.
Classic Archie Bunker on All in the Family. Now, the certain element of truth is, in a scenario, if it's a gun-free zone, you're in danger because the bad guy's going to have the gun. If everyone's allowed to carry a gun and they're properly trained, bad guys are going to think twice before they try to pull anything. So that's where Archie's right. Now, would I advocate that everybody boarding a plane should be handed a pistol? That's just wrong for a lot of reasons. The people aren't trained, and I would think if there's going to be a shootout on an airplane, that plane is probably going to have some issues and go down pretty quick. So funny stuff. Now, also, I wanted to touch on I mentioned the Jeffersons, and George Jefferson and Archie's black neighbor and Archie are always going at it on something. And if anybody's more mean-spirited in this, I think it's George, because, you know, he's calling Archie a honky, and he gets all irate and just fired up, and Archie's usually pretty calm there. But I'm not going to play the whole scene for you, but Archie and Edith are invited to Lionel's engagement party, and that's Lionel is George's son. And George finds out for the first time that Lionel's fiance's father is white. And so Archie gets a little bit of a kick out of this. George is beside himself. And with this, not a mixed marriage, but knowing that, you know, there's going to be white genes in the family for his grandchildren. So he's trying to absorb that in his head. And Archie and George sit down and they have a meeting of the minds over this issue.
Malcolm, what is this world coming to?
Beat me, Jefferson. All I got to say is, here's to yesterday.
And they click their glasses as they're having a drink together. So it was kind of cool. So my point in bringing this up and addressing the whole race division and everything is, looking back at All in the Family from 44 years ago when it debuted, that's almost a way to almost bring us together in a very ironic way. I'm not totally sure. Here's what I'm going to sum it up with. I'm going to say, if you can't look at a show like All in the Family and look at how race was addressed back then, and you can't laugh at that show, there's something wrong with you. Not black, white, we're all Americans, we're all people. But if you can't laugh at some of the issues that we have today, that's the problem. We all need to just chill out, have some fun, and accept each other. Derek, let's take us out with a little bit of music here. Let's actually go with track number 2, which is Eric Clapton from 1983, and I've Got a Rock and Roll Heart.
Serious world. Right at this moment, I could promise you the world. Before we go crazy, before we explode, there's something about me, baby, you got to know. guess there's nothing left for me to explain. Here's what you get in, and I don't want to change. I don't want to change. I get off on 57 Chevy. I get off on screaming guitar. Like the way it gets me every time it hits me. I've got it rock and roll. I've got it rock and roll. I don't need no glitter, no Hollywood. All you got to do.
All right, we're back, and we actually have a couple minutes before we go to Blaze at the Blaze News at the bottom of the hour, and I want to open up the phone lines in the second half of the show, and here's what I want you to, we're going to talk about anything you want to talk about, but here's an idea that I have. If you could sit down with President Barack Hussein Obama and have his ear for, say, a full minute, what would you tell him? You could sit in the Oval Office alone with President Obama and tell him anything you want, except you can't threaten him. That's against the law. And you can't swear, because I won't allow that on the radio. So I'm going to open up the phone lines, 734-822-1600. What would you tell Obama? Now, I know that some callers may get in ahead of you and steal your thunder and say the same thing. So if you could sit down with, say, Hillary Clinton, or any national talk show host, what would you tell them? Whether you agree with them, disagree with them, or the recent, well, I shouldn't say the recent, because they keep coming out of the woodwork, the Republican candidates for president. How many do we have now, Derek? Like 100? 200?
I think we're up to 15 now.
15, huh? 15 and growing. The one candidate that intrigues me, and I know that he has probably no chance of winning. I'm not so sure I even want him to win, because he's such a self-promoting egomaniac, and I don't think he really wants to win. I think he just wants to have a seat at the table, is Donald Trump. The one thing that I do like about this man is that when it comes to foreigners taking advantage of the United States, China especially, talks about immigration, people coming over the border illegally, he's going to talk about that in a language and a tone that I think most of us would like to be able to voice on a national stage. That's what I like about Donald Trump. Some of the other candidates, I know Rick Santorum, he ran before. Will, you know, Mike Huckabee, is he going to be taken seriously this time around? I don't know. Is he too to the religious right? Tell me and tell other listeners what you would tell Obama, Hillary Clinton, national talk show hosts, or the Republican candidates for president. That's what I want to hear. So 734-822-1600. We're also going to come back with a little bit of music. I know that I'm mixing it up a little bit because it's supposed to be a talk show. You don't play music on a talk show. Well, Theron does. He plays his bump music on Friday, but I might play some whole songs. Depends on you. You call in. You want to talk. I'm going to give you the floor. We'll let the music play a little bit. But then you will be able to come on and voice your opinion on what the current president needs to hear. How much time we got left, Derek?
Got about 30 seconds.
30 seconds. How are we going to fill that? You know what? I'm going to fill it with this. I talked about All in the Family earlier. I should state that All in the Family was the number one show every year for the first 6 years of its existence. Bravo said that Archie was the greatest television character of all time, and TV Guide ranked All in the Family as the fourth greatest show of all time. So I'm not alone in my love for that program. See you on the other side.
This is the Blaze Radio News. I'm Kay Long. The federal government warning terrorists could carry out attacks on U.S. soil around the 4th of July holiday. This as U.S. investigators closely follow the three terrorist attacks overseas in France, Tunisia, and Kuwait City. NYPD Deputy Commissioner John Miller saying there's no specific threat against New York City as yet, but there's still cause for concern.
That's still being assessed, but it's being assessed in the context that ISIS put out a call within recent weeks calling on attacks during the period of Ramadan. So that's something we're going to factor into how we look at this.
Miller saying the NYPD dispatching extra patrols to area hotels following the resort attack in Tunisia. Police using helicopters and bloodhounds in an intense manhunt for the lone remaining fugitive in upstate New York. Convicted cop killer David Sweat still on the run after accomplice Richard Matt is shot and killed trying to avoid capture. Police focusing their efforts on the same area near the Canadian border. The two inmates break out of the Clinton Correctional Facility 3 weeks ago. A former governor and current GOP presidential candidate saying the high court ruling on gay marriage not within the court's authority. The Blaze Radio's Brad James.
What they did was not rule on marriage equality. What they did was redefine marriage. And there's a fundamental difference. Their decision was a political decision. It was not a legal one.
That's Republican presidential candidate Mike Huckabee disagreeing with the Supreme Court ruling legalizing same-sex marriage in all 50 states. The former Arkansas governor saying President Obama influenced the Supreme Court decision.
Because I don't think we'd be here today if this president had not been such a staunch advocate and one of the leading voices to push for something that just 3 years ago he said he was against.
Huckabee appearing on the Kelly File on Fox News. The former Arkansas governor says he shudders when he hears people say gay marriage is now the law of the land. Brad James, The Blaze News.
This is news on the Blaze Radio Network. Truth lives here.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
The Michigan Ability Center, or MAC, is an equine-assisted therapy center with innovative, enjoyable, and rewarding therapy programs that focus on abilities, not disabilities. Programs are customized to achieve goals, improve function, foster pre-vocational skills, promote wellness, enhance self-esteem, and empower children, adolescents, and adults who have physical, mental, emotional, or learning challenges. Year-round services, including therapeutic riding, recreational riding, and equine-facilitated learning and mental health, are provided at a 60-acre historic farm. Equine-assisted therapy benefits clients with physical, mental, emotional, and learning challenges of all ages. MAC's clients range from 2 to 90 years old. Discover the healing and empowering benefits of horsepower and improve your health and well-being as a client or volunteer team member. Donations are also appreciated. The Kiwanis Club of Ann Arbor has established a service-oriented satellite at MAC. MAC volunteers have the option of joining this Kiwanis satellite at MAC and benefit from belonging to Kiwanis International. The Michigan Ability Center Professional Association of Therapeutic Horsemanship International Center is located at 7286 West Ellsworth Road in Ann Arbor. For more information, call 734-622-9500 or visit MichiganAbilityCenter.org. Check out the wide variety of educational fun events put on by the Ann Arbor District Library for kids preschool through 12th grade. All library facilities can be reached by phone through the main switchboard at 734-327-4200, or you can visit www.aadl.org. Check it out.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com.
I did my best to notice when the call came down the line up to the platform of surrender. I was brought, but I was kind. And sometimes I get nervous when I see an open door. Close your eyes, clear your heart. Cut the cord. Are we human? Or are we dancer? My sign is vital. My hands are cold. And I'm on my knees looking for the answer. Are we human? Or are we dancer?
All right, welcome back, everybody, to The Drift. Brandon Drake filling in for Mr. Gary Wellings, who will be back, if not next week, the week after. He's a man of leisure these days in Florida, and I believe he's on line one. Ken, you hold on. I'm going to bring up Gary, the boss, first, and I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say, Ken, right after Gary. Gary, welcome to your show.
Nicely done, Drake. You're doing a great job, you and Derek. Nicely done. I love Archie Bunker, by the way.
Well, thank you.
I would say I am Archie Bunker, but I'm not quite 100% with what Archie's views were. But then again, that was then, and this is now, right?
Well, you know, right. I'm totally with you on that. I'm not totally Archie Bunker. I don't think anybody's totally Archie Bunker in that he was a TV character, and when they made him, they broke the mold. He was just such a classic and such an entertaining character to watch. And like I said, number one in the ratings for 6 years, and of course, that's driven by Carol O'Connor's portrayal of Archie Bunker.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, and what a great job he did at portraying that, you know. And I think it was so successful because it struck a real chord with America. I mean, it was, you know, not necessarily politically correct, but it was America at that time, you know. It was a good thing. It was a wonderful thing. And you're directly, I started laughing when I heard you fade into the Family Guy tune right after. Because the first thought out of my mind was, how far have we fallen?
How far how far have we sunk when a show like All in the Family was considered to be something people shouldn't watch because it's, quote, racist and it's controversial and not politically correct. And we were transitioning from, you know, Archie's era when he was growing up in the, you know, in the 30s and the 40s, and he's a World War II veteran, to now the hippies and the drug culture, and you know, abortion, and the pill for sexual freedom. And Archie doesn't want any of that. He's a traditional guy now. And like I said, the one probably most controversial thing about him is people trying to label him as a racist. But I will argue that with the characters that were on that show, Archie was no more racist. In fact, I would argue that the people that were calling him a racist or intolerant or a bigot were more so than he was.
Yeah, he was no more bigoted than George Jefferson. None.
Exactly.
I mean, George had the same, you know, they wanted to stay separate. That was just those older guys at that time, you know.
It's
really interesting that you would bring that up, because I think you hit it right on the head with what's happening in society today.
And I think that to almost heal, if you will, I hate using that word and hearing it all the time, but to bring us together, ironically enough, if people that, especially young people that have probably never seen All in the Family or have possibly never even heard of it, they should go to YouTube or buy the DVDs and watch that show, because like I was going to say, ironically enough, I think that can bring us together, when back then it was looked at as so divisive.
Yeah, well, you take a look at, wasn't the producer was Norman Lear, wasn't it?
Norman Lear and Bud Lorkin. Bud Yorkin, rather. Yeah.
And Norman Lear was pretty liberal, doggone it.
Absolutely.
I mean, he was by no means a conservative whatsoever. And was he using the character of Archie to point something out? Obviously, he probably was. But I think 30 years later, when you look at it, the message is kind of different, isn't it?
Oh, it absolutely is. And I forgot to point out that another reason that I put the Family Guy theme song dovetailed on to the All in the Family theme song is that when you see the opening of All in the Family, or I'm sorry, when you see the opening of Family Guy, you see Peter, who's the husband and father, and Lois, his wife, at the piano, just like Archie and Edith were at their piano.
Yeah,
so it's a parody of All in the Family.
A parody, right? Is that what we call it? A parody of Archie Bunker and Edith.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And and what you said, you know, is totally how I feel. Is how far have we fallen when, you know, I think that a show like Family Guy has its place, but not on primetime television for kids to watch. Number one, they want to see it because it's a cartoon, but it's in a time slot where they're still awake, and it's right after... you know, it's, you know, The Simpsons is a great show. I have no problem really with kids watching that. I think it's a very intellectually stimulating, fun, challenging show. And if I had a child and he could understand some of the references they're making to history and culture through The Simpsons, I would be really proud. But a show like Family Guy, it's kind of like a combination of TMZ and Howard Stern. You know, it's something, but worse. And it's the most mean-spirited, unfunny most of the time, in-your-face, sexual, and toilet humor that I just have a real problem with that.
Yeah. You know, what's amazing, too, is that imagine that show done with live people. It would have been booted off the air for political reasons years and years ago. But because they're animated characters, they can get away with things that the average human being could not get away with. You know, that's the crazy thing about us as viewers, that we would allow that cartoon to say the things it does and get away with them without the political backlash that, say, Archie Bunker could not have ever gotten away with, or any person nowadays.
You know, that's a great point, Gary, and I'm glad you articulated that so well, that they kind of slipped in the back door, if you will, and got into people's homes because of animation.
Yeah, absolutely. And it makes you wonder, you know, 10 years from now, when they start animating characters that look exactly like people, are they going to be able to get away with things that we as human beings can't get away with? And how far will they take that in the future with television? You know, when characters are no longer actors, they're CGI animations.
Yeah, very true. And again, to beat up Family Guy one more time, you know, when kids are watching that, especially very young, impressionable, formative, those formative years for children, I don't care what anybody says. When a child, especially that, I mean, even adults, but a child, especially at that age, when they are bombarded with something like Family Guy and they see that over and over and over, their respect for society, their respect for their parents, for elders, for authority figures, and just a basic sense of decency and manners just goes right out the window, because they model after that, whether they're fully aware of it or not. When that message is bashed into their skulls in reruns day and night constantly, that they're being brainwashed by a program like that. And I don't care what anyone says that, oh, no, that doesn't affect them, and studies have shown this and that. We're all modeling after things we hear, we see, and after each other. You have an influence on me. I'm sure I have an influence on you, in probably subtle ways that we're not even fully aware of.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely right. Well, I'm going to let you get on to your other callers. We will either be pre-recorded next week, or I don't know if we can do live, but we'll probably be pre-recorded. So we'll see you guys all next week. But I'll let you get on to your callers, because it's 93 degrees here, and I've got a beer that's getting warmer by the minute. So
well,
I'm going
to...
relax by the pool some more and listen to the rest of the show.
Well, before I let you go, did you want to touch quickly on any of the you know, the recent Supreme Court rulings or anything in the news?
I guess let's touch the Supreme Court ruling on gay marriage. Now, you know, I'm kind of a social moderate, and for me, the what worried me, and I haven't read the transcripts, but for me, marriage is a religious term, not a legal term, and I've always been kind of angry that the government's involved in who I marry and whether I can get a license or anything else. I think had the Supreme Court looked at it from the point of union or domestic contracts or something like that, it would have made more sense. But I think the arguments they're using are going to bite them and the rest of us in the behind in the not too distant future, because I really don't think these are the smartest nine judicial people in the world. These are not the smartest, at least the ones that voted the way they voted. You know, I'm not against gay marriage and I'm not against those things, but the way they went about it, I think, is a huge, huge mistake. And I think we're all going to pay the price for that eventually.
Yeah. Welcome to the collective.
Exactly. Well, we'll see. You've got great callers coming in, I know. So I'll let you guys go, and we'll see you in a few weeks.
All right, Gary, take care, and thanks so much. Have a safe trip back.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks. All right, Ken, you've been waiting so patiently. I appreciate that. And as you know, I always enjoy your calls when you call in. You're a guy that's very consistent. You're unflappable. And every once in a while, I get you to laugh, and that kind of that gives me that warm, tingly feeling up my leg. Ken, welcome to The Drift.
Well, I'd like to touch on a couple topics that you've brought up, and I'll try to do as quickly as I can. First of all, as someone that grew up watching All in the Family as it was first broadcast and not on reruns, I said it's definitely a great show. I own all the seasons on DVD. And what I do know about it is that it was intended as a show to poke at, to make fun of, criticize conservatives.
Yes.
And well, the thing is, Archie Bunker is the character that makes the most sense.
Oftentimes he does. He does it in a clumsy way, but when you scratch below the surface, it's like, you know, a lot of times you want to say Archie's right. Just like on MASH, a lot of times Frank, who they made to be, you know, the sniveling idiot, he was right.
Well, that's why I always said with All in the Family is, even though he's rude and crude, Archie's actually a good role model. He's a good conservative behind the scenes. If you dig underneath everything.
Well, Ken, also, here's the bottom line. Even though he had conflict with his daughter, he would be irritated by his wife, Edith, who he would call Dingbat. He was a family man. He loved his wife. He never cheated on her. He would never dream of doing so. He loved his little girl, as he called her, Gloria, his daughter, and even his son-in-law. I remember one of the episodes where Gloria, toward the end of the series, when Gloria and Mike were moving to California to take a job or jobs out there, and it was one of the most tear-jerking show or episodes I saw of any television show, because Archie was devastated that those two left.
Well, yeah, because that was his life. His daughter was his life.
Exactly. His family is his life.
He was a traditional family man.
Yes.
Two other quick points you brought up. First, if I had 60 seconds with Barack Obama, what would I say to him?
Yes.
Well, what I would say to him is that he's a traitor to this country. He's a traitor to the U.S. Constitution. He took an oath to uphold it, not destroy it. He's a traitor to the American people for doing all the harm that he has done to this country. And I would tell him that history is going to show that he's the most dangerous, most harmful president, in my opinion, in American history. Now, what would I say to the candidates running for president? Well, what I would say to them very forcefully is that if you want my support, you want my vote, then I want you to publicly stand up and defend the U.S. Constitution. I want you to publicly stand up and be pro-life and defend the life of the baby. And now we had this terrible ruling by the Supreme Court. I would say I want you to stand up and support traditional marriage. And I would want to see a president that would do everything within his power to try to reverse this ridiculous ruling. Because the bottom line, God, not man, created marriage as the union between one man, one woman, period. And the Supreme Court has now taken upon itself to be God. And so I would definitely, like I said, I would tell the candidate, you want my support, then you better be publicly standing up for traditional biblical views on marriage.
Well put. Well put. How about Hillary Clinton? Did you want
to
touch on her?
What would I say to Hillary? Get out of the race. I mean, come on, another Clinton in the White House. We really need that.
Yeah, and I think it even goes beyond just another Clinton in the White House. This is a woman
A Marxist, just like her husband.
Yeah, I mean, and if it wasn't for her last name, and if it wasn't for this basic media love affair with her over the past 25-plus years, she would be an unknown, a non-entity. She would not have had access to the positions of power that she's had, because she doesn't deserve, based on merit, to have ever been in those positions of power. And to consider her to be a leading candidate for president of the United States, where now she has all the power as a as that office holds is to me so over the top unbelievable that I can't, I mean, if, like you said with Barack Obama, I agree with what you're saying. You bring her and that's going to be the final nail.
Well, the thing is that the only thing Hillary Clinton has ever wanted is to be president. I mean, go back to when Bill was governor. I mean, this idea was in her head. Because it's the only reason why Hillary never divorced Bill is because she needed Bill to get where she's at now.
Yeah, and it's not anything to do with that she's a woman. So,
no,
you know,
just the way she is.
The way people, you know, listen and understand and they believe what they want to believe, they can take words that have never been said, meaning that's never been implied, and say, well, Ken and Drake, they just don't like her because she's a woman. Once again, the war on women. That's just absolute nonsense, right?
Well, listen, certain types of women, if they have the right ideas in their head, could be good presidents. I mean, look, we had Margaret Thatcher in England. She was great. And
I think
any woman that has the right ideas can be a good president. Well, it's not Hillary. Hillary is a bleeding heart liberal. She's a progressive, a commie. And so Hillary Clinton is definitely not someone to be a president.
I often debate with myself if I had to say, is she more incompetent? Is she a liar? Is she criminal? And I can't decide on how I would weight each of those components of her actions and personality. And so I have to say it's almost all equal. It's 100% incompetent, it's 100% liar, and it's 100% criminal. I know that adds up to 300%, but that's basically what it is.
Listen, Hillary Clinton is not incompetent. And just like Barack Obama, he's not stupid. They're commies. They're progressives. I mean, they're liars. Oh, big-time liars. That's all they know how to do, liars. The one word I would say that they both fit into is they're deceivers. But to say they're incompetent, oh, no. Hillary knows exactly what she's doing, just like Barack Obama. He knows exactly what he's doing. But they are not Americans. They are not, like I said, pro-constitutionalists. They're commies.
See, where I differ a little bit with you is to say that she's not incompetent and that she knows exactly what she's doing. I think there is a strong element. I agree that she knows what she's doing to a degree, but I think there's also a large degree of incompetence buried in that. It's not a black and white thing. I think it's a combo. Incompetence and she knows what she's doing, which makes it almost worse. I would almost have more respect for her if I actually believed that she wasn't incompetent and knew exactly what she was doing. And I just can't buy that 100%.
Well, the reason I say I don't think she's incompetent is she wouldn't be where she is today if she's really truly that stupid. I mean, there again, I think that everything she believes in is just on the wrong side of the coin.
Yeah, what her incompetence as a Secretary of State, you make a great point, and I think we're both on the same page, but just a matter of degrees. So, Ken, I'm going to let you go. I really appreciate you calling in. I've got another call here, and I always look forward to hearing from you.
Well, you take it easy, and stand up for the truth.
Hey, thanks, Ken. Keep marching on, my brother.
Take care.
You too. All right, Walter. Take Walter on line one, my brother from another mother. I always enjoy your calls.
Man, and this is my grand finale. I won't be calling back for three shows in a row in a while.
No, you're always welcome, Walter. Don't be silly.
Yeah, man,
Bring it on, man. What do you got? Obama meeting. Let's talk.
Man, how can I follow Ken? Even though you know how I feel about Ken, even though he didn't vote for Mitt Romney. But anyway. Ken, my man, he's a man. Those are some good points he made.
Absolutely.
But anyway, I would ask Barack Obama. Isn't that the question you posed? What if I had a chance to be in that White House forever and ask him some questions? Is that what you posed?
Yeah, let's do this. You waited patiently. I was going to give everybody 60 seconds of uninterrupted talking with Barack Obama in the Oval Office. Let me give you a good 2-3 minutes here, and I'm not going to say one word. Just go. You're sitting down right now. I want you to visualize. You're in the Oval Office. You got a suit on. You're sitting with the man himself, Barack Obama, and he is going to listen to you, and you're going to tell him. You're going to set him straight. Do it.
I'll say, Barack Obama, let's first start off with from your history. Let's start out from what I know about you. I ain't pulling no punches. What about, let's talk about, I want to ask you, why were you in that church under Jeremiah Never Been Right? For 20 years, listening to him spew out lies, deception, racism, bashing America. Why did you decide to leave that church after you thought about running for president? And why did you stay in there 20 years if you didn't agree with him? Spew out that black liberation theology, false teaching, false gospel, and you decide to get out. Secondly, why is it that every time you open your mouth, lies upon lies upon lies come out towards American people? And why do you, why are you walking hand in hand with the news media who helped to lie you in office? And I would make a statement that a lot of Americans say that you was going to bring us all together and all that kind of stuff. Whereas I see right through that kind of stuff, because we were already brought together. We didn't need you or any other black person or any other person come to our rescue, because we already rescued ourselves from racism. You know, and the fact of that matter is that there's mixed marriages. Mixed races been getting together far before you even became president. So every time when you're on the platform, you say things. When you made that statement about, if you had a son, he'd look like Trayvon Martin, stuff like that. And, you know, that's basically what I would ask him. And that's if they didn't throw me out of there after asking him, why do he lie so much? I don't need 3 minutes to get my point across.
Let me ask you this, Walter. If you were forced to respond to this question, or this maybe this demand, if you had to say one, I'm putting you on the spot here, I know how you feel about Obama. If you had to state one thing that Obama has done right, what would it be?
I would say one thing he's done right, he has fulfilled his chance of hope and change. And that's becoming into fruition through the things, laws being passed. It's right on target, as he wished. And also about his civilian army, where he got all these blacks rising up against policemen and authority and stuff like that. That's part of his civilian army. That's what he has done. And it's not the positive, it's the negative.
Okay, I was looking for something positive, but you're not gonna bite on that one, are you?
Yeah, it's not done one thing positive. I'm saying that's what he did in positive for, his positive lies.
All right.
And it's happening. Hope and change. Like I said, you ain't got no change left in your pocket. Ain't no more hope left. All the change leave your wallet, your bank accounts, your checking accounts, and saving accounts. And let's add one to it.
Walter, I hate to cut you up, but we're just about out of time here, so I'm going to let you go, and I really appreciate the call and everything you always bring.
All right,
take care. Okay, so everybody, I wanted to end the show because, we're nearing that time to say goodbye. But just remember, old radio guys never die. They just fade away. This is Brandon Drake signing off. I'm not sure when, but I shall return. Have a great weekend, everybody.